Okay, we have board time Wednesday, 16 April.
If you need agendas, we have a very light agenda. We have a couple of items here that may take some discussion. Item 1.1 is the commissioner appointment.
I think
as everybody knows, Commissioner Stewart started with the city of Ridgefield on Monday the 14th, and we have a vacancy to fill. And so Axel has done a bit of research regarding what other counties have done, what processes they followed, and so on. And he can also remind the commission of the procedure that was followed the last time we did this here at Clark County. But Commissioner Mielke, you had a comment?
No, is it anything different than we tried to set up a date that we could ask some questions, and then after that we could either go to executive session or reconvene at a different time and make our announcement. But more importantly, with what's going on here, is that I've had a death in the family, and I'm going to be gone for a week.
And you leave Friday?
Yes, I'll leave Thursday night, Friday.
And then you'll return
The 28th. I'll be here Monday the 28th.
Okay. So gone all next week?
Yes.
So that's 21 through what?
22. So 25. We do want to expedite this as quick as we can. And I know that Commissioner Medora is drafting questions, and I haven't started yet. Maybe I can get that done while I'm gone. And we'll see how that plays out, and we'll set a date.
Okay. On the last page of the packet, I had a really good conversation today with the county commissioner from Kitsap County, who worked through their process just in January when Commissioner Josh Brown resigned. And she said that they prepared some general questions. And I said, well, could I get a copy? So she sent them, and I looked through them. They're pretty, you know, they would work in any county, but just good. I just thought it'd be a good general set of questions for you all to look at when you think through how, you know, maybe what kind of questions you would want to ask in an interview, so I included them in there. The front thing on there is, obviously this is incomplete. I've contacted every one of these counties, but the way I worked this was I spoke with Eric Johnson at the Washington State Association of Counties, because I know he has a list of all commissioners. I said, hey, Eric, nobody knows more about commissioners than you. Can you work the list with me? And he was more than willing to do that. So we went down and we kind of put little asterisks next to those ones we know who recently went through an appointment process. And I came up, I think, with these 10 or so counties, and the contact numbers are for the clerk of the board, and I just reached out to them. Some of them have gotten me some materials and documentation. Some of them I've just had conversations with, and some of them I'm waiting to hear from. But
did they do something other than what the RCW called for?
Well, you know, the RCW says you get the three names of viable candidates, and then it really after that the process is up to you, other than there are some time constraints, the 60 days, and then it goes to the governor and such. But there is, you know, a customer culture here where, you know, county commissioners are not the only place that or the only position that consistently would need to be appointed. You could have any county elected position need to be appointed. I spent a lot of time talking to clerks about other positions, whether it be state rep or treasurers in their process. But the process is pretty much the same. I found two kind of what I would call little anomalies in my conversation so far. Kitsap County did say that they were open to and available if the individual candidates wanted to come in for an individual interview. Now, they made their decision, and they held over the course of one afternoon the open public interviews, and then decided who to appoint. But ahead of that, they were willing to meet with, or they allowed individual candidates to come and do a one-on-one interview with each of the commissioners if they so choose. So there was kind of that aspect to the Kitsap approach. The other one that I found was a little bit different was in Ponderay County. They actually scheduled their interviews over the course of 2 days, as opposed to all back-to-back in one day, so that was a little different.
It's small enough they can do that.
Sure. But most of them, for the most part, they call it a work session, they call it a meeting, they call it a whatever, but they block off a period of time, 3-4 hours in an afternoon. They invite the candidates in, and they interview them, and, they make their selection. Almost every I haven't found a county yet that didn't allow the candidates to submit a resume or a cover letter or letters of recommendation, anything like that. All of them have told me so far that, yeah, we would absolutely and did allow candidates to give us that kind of information.
But not require it.
Not required, but no. You can. And then the other questions I was asking was, did you send out a survey or a questionnaire of any kind? I haven't found a county that did that. But like I said, some counties, like when I did this in Cowlitz or Kitsap, did create some standardized or general questions to ask each of the candidates. For public input, I got some varying answers so far, but undoubtedly every county said you're going to get public input. Someone's going to email the board, they're going to call the board, they're going to give letters.
Before Commissioner Stewart left.
Exactly. So I asked questions.
And we got them Tuesday also.
Right. So in Kitsap, I spoke up there, they said, yeah, absolutely, you're going to get a lot of that kind of interest. We would typically just try to forward that straight away to the staff and compile it, you know, as a single record to be used in the interview process. Others, when we got it in Cowlitz, we just kept our own. You know, people would, maybe someone would send me something, but not another commissioner. So we just kept that ourselves and used it as part of the process as we wanted to. And when I was talking to the clerk in Wakayakum County, she said, you know, and we didn't let anyone get up and speak during the interview process. So we didn't interview someone and then ask the crowd, per se, how they felt about it.
We've, in the past, we've opened it to the public, but not for questioning. We did the open interviews. And with our track record of wanting to be transparent, I think one-on-one interviews probably wouldn't be appropriate. We would rather keep everything above board and out in the open. But, you know, it would help, and we might... That depends what you think, Commissioner Bedore, is ask for a resume. Ask them if they want to send a resume, for lack of a better term.
I believe that we can certainly invite them to submit a number of things, but none of these can be requirements because basically we're required to appoint regardless of what they provide to us. But it would just simply be an invitation and we could... And all of that, this whole thing, public on everything. So, yes, it certainly would invite resumes, cover letters.
It's going to be difficult
vision,
as it is because I know that you have a scheduled time that you're not going to be here. And
did you say Thursday, Friday next week or Friday, Monday?
Thursday.
24th
and
25th, right?
Yeah. Okay. But that shouldn't impact anything.
If we do this, if you could draft up a letter to them on a request basis, it's not mandatory, it's just something that might help us, see if they want to submit information to us that would help in
letter
our decision.
Sure, and my assumption is the clerk of the board, you know, and I will help Rebecca in this, but the clerk typically is sort of the focal point, and what we would do is, When the two of you decide on a date and time that you want to hold interviews, we will reach out to each of the three candidates and we'll let them know the date, time for the interview and that they should, if they want, submit any written documentation to support their candidacy.
Yeah, I'd like to have that as soon as possible.
So we could send that letter out.
So speaking of dates, I think since we have your absence coming up and Commissioner Bedore, yours following Commissioner Mielke's, if we could agree on a date today.
No, I don't want to do that. I'm too much up in the air right now to know what's... we have a lot on the agenda right now. We're going to struggle through what we're going to do about next Tuesday also, or how much of that stuff we're going to kick down the road.
Okay, so you do not want to set a date for interviews of the three candidates?
No, because if I set a date today and for whatever reason we can't make it, then I get beat up for that.
I'll also put together some questions, and we can also certainly invite, we can get the word out to them to invite them to send cover letter or just simply a resume, a statement of vision, what would you like to be able to change, specifics, vision forward, those kinds of, just invite what they want to share that we can make public.
Yeah, I was thinking that once I got that from them, it might help me ask them more questions.
Yeah, and if you review this list, there's some pretty good questions on here. Well, good starting point.
Yeah, thanks for doing the research, and we'll certainly need to, I'll be happy to read through it and also look to fill in. You're still working to fill in these blanks here, right?
Yeah, I have about five more counties that I haven't heard from, and then a few more documents that are kind of promised to me. Mostly the documents are just their agendas for that day, how they conducted the interviews. Was it a one-day, two-day, 1 hour, half hour? I mean, there's not a lot of variation, I got to be honest. Most of the time it's just set a date, invite them in, draw straws to see who goes, you know, first through third, and then do the interview and make the appointment. So, I mean, that's kind of what I'm finding.
Can you add to this the date and the person that was appointed for these? Because all we know is that there's a county that appointed somebody sometime.
Yeah, and these literally are 1 to 5 years old. I mean,
yeah,
because
so
this doesn't happen.
So, in other words, that would allow us people to refer to the particular appointment and go back and say, and they know where, if all these processes were public, we can go back and find their agendas and their minutes as well.
And that, yeah, and I'm trying to get that information sent to me.
Well, if they had grids, we'd not have a problem doing that.
Well, right, but.
Did you ever figure out, I'm just out of curiosity, what's going on at Grace Harbor?
That specifically, I think the question was with regard to the prosecuting attorney. I think they had to appoint a replacement for the prosecuting attorney.
They had a commissioner, a state representative, and a prosecuting attorney.
Okay. Well, the one that was, I guess, interesting of the three, what I think was the prosecuting attorney, because I think what happened was, my recollection is they appointed someone who then declined the appointment.
Maybe something like that.
And
I don't want to make the same mistake.
Yeah, and then it went to the governor, and then now it's back with them.
Right. And they're not on the list.
Well, because that was a prosecuting attorney position.
I thought you said it was a commissioner, too.
I think it was two or three. And I thought one was a state, one was a commissioner.
Is this a complete list of appointments?
It's the best list that Eric and I can come up
with. We want to learn from mistakes. You know, we always do better when we look back 2020 on someone else's mistakes.
If Grace Harbor appointed commissioners too, let's add them to the list to make sure we learn from that insight. Because certainly the RCW is very clear as exactly, okay, here's what you do and you pick from this list, but it doesn't say how. And we can just simply wing it, but it would be smart for us to be able to make sure that we gain the insight from those that have done this process to know what works good and what works well and what didn't work so well, and then adopt the best of both.
Sure. And for instance, I think in Thurston County, they did hold the interviews, and I think they could not agree. It was a one-to-one impasse, and they sent it, I think, immediately or quickly
to
the governor.
Rather than delay this and you present this at next board time, as you get this information, why don't you go ahead and forward it to us so that we can be reading it as we go. I'd like to be able to move along in the process.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we won't have a board time next week, so that's a good suggestion.
Yes, well, there's homework to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
And
we'll
I want people to have access
time.
To the information so we can get through this thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, if I could, I think we should discuss the consent hearing and the three public hearings that we have scheduled for next week, because we need to give guidance to Rebecca to.
So we
have three hearings, the consent hearing, and then three individual hearings. One on the fountains development, the intersection improvement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that if we delay that a week, it's going to kill anything.
Mm-hmm.
The urban reserve code amendment. I think we could probably delay that.
Reserve code. What was that again?
There's some code.
That streamlines the searches for legal and illegal lots.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And allows adjustments and whatnot to make them conforming.
We're okay.
Or,
that'd be fine.
Yeah. And, you know, it's been months and months in coming, so another week won't hurt anything. And then the comprehensive plan update, the employment forecast number. We've delayed that once, another week-long delay. I know Oliver will he'll begin to get testy here about his time schedule because he's got a date certain where he's got to have all this work done, but I think he could eat another week.
And I think I understood legal to say that we can't take any action on those today because we have to make notice.
Well, these public hearings, we actually have to have the public present and able to testify, so there's no way we're going to get these done.
Yeah.
And the items on the consent agenda, I looked at them earlier today. We have a plat. We have a grant application and some other things.
Okay.
And if they delayed a week, I don't think it will cause a problem.
So
I was under the impression that had we made were able to give notice that we could do those today.
Well,
we haven't, so it's mute.
Yeah, nothing is that pressing that needs to happen before Tuesday, so it looks like we can shift everything to the following Tuesday.
Yeah.
But that's fine. And when it comes to the one that the employment number one, mm-hmm. I want to make sure that we get that all to the jurisdictions and make sure we get real good notice on that.
Yeah, all the jurisdictions are on board for next Tuesday.
That's why
they'll be on board the following week or the week after.
They're all on board for Tuesday.
We
want to make sure we really get the word to them so they don't show up.
Yeah, it's a small list.
Before we get
very easy
so
to
far
get
down the road here, we can deal with that if I do a telephone conference.
Well, here's the thing on that, Tom. Because of the Tuesday meeting that we had, CTRAN meeting that we had, I researched that and learned that their bylaws say that Robert's Rules of Order will govern how they conduct their meetings. And so I checked Robert's Rules of Order as it's published, widely published, the current version of it says it is prohibited for a commissioner to vote over the phone unless it's pre-adopted as part of the normal policy for that board. So in reality, CTRAN violated their bylaws when Commissioner Stewart voted over the phone for the BRT project last week.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement there, but
there is
today Chris said that we haven't adopted that.
Unless you explicitly put it into your policy that says that members can be present virtually over the phone or over the computer, that it is not allowed by Robert's Rules of Order. So we don't have that policy.
If you adopt the Robert Rules of Order to follow.
But we already are. That's what governs our meetings.
We didn't. Well, call
right?
Chris.
I think you're right, Commissioner Mielke. He said we haven't adopted Robert's Rules for our proceedings.
Right.
So have not. If we wanted to.
Well, it would have to be a process that we would give notice for and adopt it, because otherwise you just have to do it just before the meeting, and that kind of violates Robert's Rules of Order there.
Oh, you're saying if we didn't give notice, then I'd be on the phone.
No.
I think I understood that, too.
No, unless you have a policy that says virtual members can vote, it is prohibited. It needs to be explicitly put into your bylaws that it is allowed in order for it to be legal.
I think you're mistaken.
Well, I was surprised when I found it.
No big thing. I'm just saying we're getting backlogged and something that can't be avoided. So, and there's nothing controversial.
If we're going to follow our own bylaws and we're going to follow our policies and follow Robert's Rules of Order, I was surprised when
that's
I saw
not our policies. That's what Chris said today. The only thing that was close to that is that we would have a notification, I think I understood, that I would be on telephone conference. That'd be the notification that we'd have to make.
We could ask Rebecca. She's the clerk. She could probably answer when we don't have a quorum and what's required.
Well
that's another question, is that you don't have a quorum unless you recognize me on the phone.
Right.
Exactly. That's really one and the same thing. At this point, we don't have to resort to the extraordinary measures. We don't have provision for the extraordinary measures. We can delay this to the next week and we're good.
What are the hearing items?
We have the Fountains Developer Agreement,
okay.
Which is an agreement that the developer paid the county to improve an intersection, the Urban Reserve Code Amendment, and then the Comprehensive Plan Update, the employment forecast number.
That's it. Those are three hearings.
And then we have the consent agenda, and then we have all the public testimony. And
yeah.
We're probably talking a 90-minute.
So if you don't want me to be on a telephone conference, well, and you don't have a quorum, what are you going to do?
We'd cancel the hearing and move everything to
which
subsequent week.
We could.
Popular when we did that 2 weeks ago.
I understand the intention behind having a real commissioner present during a meeting where you're making decisions, and that is that it's not just the commissioner listening and voting. It really is the commissioner being present and having a two-way presence, both for those that are participating, the citizens, and those are presentation and the body language. That's all that you get when you get a real person present versus somebody that's listening on the phone. So it really is, if we're going to be really participating to the degree that Robert's Rules of Order is intending, we would be physically present.
We haven't adopted the Robert's Rules of Order, but Chris did. So I'm curious, you're going to cancel the hearing then?
Well, actually, you know what we ought to do is check with Rebecca see what we have adopted.
But I think you need to talk to Chris. I think you need to get legal opinion.
I welcome that, sure. Because I'm just looking to follow whatever adopted policies we have.
So can you get a hold of Chris and come back up and say, because I was a little different understanding.
You sure you want me up there by myself?
You could be in charge.
We just hit the mute button when we don't want you to hear something.
As vice chair, you run the meeting.
Well, it would be good to get the answer, just simply for our own knowledge. Because I'm not making the assertions that we...
Okay, Chris, I'm going to put you on speakerphone for a moment. We're in board time. The question we're trying to resolve here is whether or not we can have a quorum with a commissioner who's not geographically present, who is appearing virtually over a telephone. All right, so here goes speaker. Oh, wait. Chris?
Yes.
Okay, you're on.
Good afternoon, commissioners. What I would propose to do is I'll come up right now. I'm going to grab the RCW 4230. And I can speak to what's exactly in it and what we have done in the past, but if you want, it might be simpler just to have me come up in person, and it'll only take me a moment.
I don't think it's that complicated. We have basically two questions. One, do we have to make notice if I'm going to be on the speakerphone?
The only reason you would be required to Clark County has not adopted the Robert's Rules of Order to govern our meetings. In fact, the only time we've used them is by analogy.
Okay.
And the only reason you would be required to give advance notice that you're going to be appearing by telephone would be if your commissioner policies specifically require it.
Okay.
So the answer is no, not generally. And I will look to see if your commissioner's policies have any provision on that. How about if I call back in about 2 minutes?
Well, I think you've answered both questions.
Okay.
We were trying to decide if we're going to be in more trouble for canceling the hearing or go through it with the chairman only. I kind of like the idea of him sitting up there by himself.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Good,
wise man.
Good judgment.
Thank you.
We're
good.
Are you going to come up?
I'm glad to come up.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
And Rebecca, what do you have?
I don't know. I was just called in. I don't know.
We're trying to determine whether or not, because of Commissioner Mielke's absence next week for the hearing, whether it would be better to reschedule the hearing and all the materials to the following week, or have a virtual have Commissioner Mielke phone in and participate over a speakerphone, and whether or not we have any policies, procedures, and rules regarding that.
Yeah, I don't know that we do have any place.
Tina's
We've never done
the commissioner's rules of practice.
Yeah.
Okay. So that
and that would include whether
I
confirm what Chris said, that we have not adopted
about
the rules
of order. I don't think we have anything specified.
Okay.
So we do it either way.
So that
we could go either way.
So that I think that's where we are, and so it's by choice what we want to do. So if you're uncomfortable doing that,
Well,
I don't have a problem with canceling.
It really has to do with what's going to serve the public the best. And this one number that we're adopting for the employment, that we're going to have each of the jurisdictions, I expect, have an interest in that. And that's a part of our foundational number that has to do with our comprehensive plan update. It's an important issue. And I think we would serve the public better if we were both there.
They testified during the workshop.
That was, yes, but we also got the hearing for the purpose of hearing whoever wasn't there and opening it up to...
We had two or three development attorneys and...
Mm-hmm. Yes, we heard
all but one community who supported the larger number. You won't hear from them again. It's okay. So you would like to postpone it?
Well, first of all, I would be willing to serve as you're the chair, however you would define it. My own opinion on that is that we would serve our community better if we were both there.
Okay. We'll postpone it. You'll be here next week at this point, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We might want to put it out 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Well,
that's how... Commissioner Murphy's gone. 2 weeks would be...
We're just talking about 1 week.
Are you
a week
the
after
following
next.
Week?
Well, then we have two other hearings. That'll be 5 hearings in 1 day.
What are the hearings we'd be postponing for next week, Rebecca?
The Fountains Developer, Urban Reserve.
That's not a controversial. That's easy.
Urban Reserve, which...
That's easy.
I don't think it's too hard. Comp plan, that one, we've already kind of talked about.
Comp plan.
Partway down.
That's population.
Yeah, that should go quickly. Cause
easy.
Okay. CDBG, home action plan, that's easy.
That's easy.
And then the road vacation.
Oh, that's just the repass road.
So
that's like this.
We don't usually do 5 hearings in 1 day, but they're all easy.
It's good that you set a record.
When you're good, you're good.
Yeah,
you know.
And we'll remind the commission beforehand to keep commentary to a minimum.
You know, we'll have to tell those guys.
Listen to him. Yeah.
So,
we'll have to tell those guys.
That's right. We'll have to put a little light in front of Commissioner Medore that beeps.
his own special light. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Is it safe to say I'm moving this all out to the...
Yeah. Due to the unfortunate events that have occurred, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, the EMS one... is that timely?
What's on that? This
week or next week?
For Tuesday, 9:30, we had an EMS.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The District 2?
I'm going to be here tomorrow.
Going on the ballot.
Theirs
is pretty timely, I think.
Well,
that's why they were getting it to us.
I saw it earlier.
Okay.
We need to know the filing deadline.
Well, the filing deadline,
it's
I believe,
like May,
is the same as Kennedy.
Yeah, so
deadline.
It's May.
It's like middle of May.
Yeah, so
okay.
I don't think that's it's timely, but I think we have sufficient cushion. Yeah.
Okay.
Let us know if that's different, please.
I will check.
Okay,
thanks, Rebecca. Okay, so we have a decision then.
Yes.
We'll get all the notices out. And,
so rules of practice do speak to Robert's Rules of Order in the instance where they're not consistent with the rules established, or if there is no rule, then they
so
can,
we have
they
not explicitly adopted
no.
them.
Well, no, I mean, it
we
says we use them in that case, but it also says you can suspend any rule you want by 2/3 vote.
Well, yeah.
we got trouble with that, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's different than C-Trans. C-Trans clearly says Robert's Rules of Order shall be the order.
All right. But I think,
shall
I think
govern.
But we have a resolution to the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners. Item 1.2 has to do with Clark County Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission. As you know, when we separated from the city on parks, previously we had a 13-member Parks, Recreation, and Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. Five of those committee members were appointed by Clark County.
Yep.
Four of those previous members are still serving. They have some time left on their terms. And staff recently went out with a recruitment to find three additional PRAC members to comprise a full 7-member PRAC.
Mm-hmm.
Commissioner Madore, earlier in the week, you indicated that you wanted the four existing members to submit resumes and application materials to be considered for reappointment or to allow them to serve out their term. I had a subsequent discussion with Commissioner Mielke, and his position is that those four should not have to compete, that they have experience that will be valuable to the new PRAC, and that they should be allowed to continue serving their term until it expires, and at that time they apply to be reappointed if they're interested.
My thinking along that line was that to replace the whole board would really be chaos if you have half the board already there to serve out the term, and then you only have to fill three new positions.
Yeah,
it'd be like replacing all the commissioners at one time. It would be confusing.
Exactly, and if we appoint three new PRAC members in the next month or so, then what we'll have is a rotation. We'll have four that expire roughly at the same time, three that expire 2 years later, as opposed to having all seven expire at the same time.
I wouldn't want to discourage those already wanting to be on it. And we might discourage them if we went back and said, we want you to reapply.
Well, there's really two things here. There's the Vancouver Park and Recreation Commission, and I assume that they're going to continue, and they're not kicking anybody off that board. Right? Do we know what they're going to do?
I don't know what they're doing, but I would assume that they would keep all their currently appointed members.
So you already have a existing Vancouver Park and Recreation Board, and we ought to ask and find out.
But our four members are no longer a member of that.
Oh, wait, let me finish. That board will continue to operate because Vancouver needs a PRAC, and we ought to ask, are they changing the makeup? Are they kicking off, or are they reducing, or somehow changing the makeup of their board? That's theirs. We don't govern their board. We ought to know that before we make a call on this.
Why?
Because there's two boards. There's the Vancouver PRAC and the Clark County PRAC. The Clark County PRAC is a brand new Park and Recreation Advisory Commission to the commissioners for Clark County Parks. They're very different than the Vancouver Parks because we don't have the kind of facilities that Vancouver has. We've got, in other words, we don't have the center out on Furstenberg Center. We don't have those kinds of indoor facilities.
I don't see how that's relevant. We appointed four members to that board, to that PRAC.
Who want to now serve the county.
Two PRACs.
No. They will no longer be a member of the City of Vancouver PRAC. Because the only reason the county appointed members to that PRAC is because we had a combined parks department.
How big is that PRAC?
It was 13 members, five from the city, five from the county, I think one from Vancouver School District, one from Evergreen, and one from someplace else. So necessarily their board will change composition, and I don't know how they're going to change it specifically, but it might continue with eight members instead of 13 because our five are no longer going to be appointed to that
I think
PRAC.
It's really important that we find out what they want to do before we decide in this case, because otherwise they could very well say, you've been serving on this board for a long time and we welcome you to continue to participate. And so but we don't know if that'd be the case. Let's find out if it is.
Well, I do. I've talked to no less than one, maybe two of them, that said they don't want to be on that, and they live in the county, and they want to be part of the counties. I don't know about the other ones.
So if that be the case, will they serve on both boards?
No.
The only reason you have a 13-member PRAC was for the combined park system. That is now a defunct system. It no longer exists. There's city parks and there are county parks. You don't need a combined Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee now that you have two separate park systems.
But the fact is that we do have two separate park systems.
We do.
Which means we have two separate PRACs.
Theirs.
Yes. Theirs.
And ours.
And a new one.
Yes. And theirs isn't going to have our members on it. Our members will be on our PRAC.
Well, and that's a safe assumption, and it sounds like some of them would like to be able to move from that
all
to the other. Do we know that?
Oh, yeah. They've already turned in their resumes, and they've already turned in letters. It's just, are we going to make them compete, and do they run the risk of being booted off because you pick somebody else?
Well, that's the point I was getting at, is that If they already are asking to be on it,
they ought to be good.
Yeah, and I guess we should ask them the question that they're going to serve on the county board alone, not on the county and the city.
Well, okay. Following this meeting, I'll call Eric Holmes. I will ask for the new composition of the PRAC at the city to see if it's still 13 members and do they want five county appointees to be on that PRAC.
Here's what I recommend we do. We can. We don't make the call today at this meeting because we don't know what they're going to do. We want to respect their wishes. We want to make an informed choice.
Okay, here's the informed choice. Thank you, Axel. They have shrunk their group to 10 members. And they want people to apply for 7 positions that are vacant, and they all have to be Vancouver City Limit residents. They all have to live inside the city.
And Jennifer handles our appointment schedule kind of stuff. It sounded like in March.
I didn't know you were here, Chris. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine.
It sounded like in March we went out for 3 because we were maybe, I don't know what assumption we were operating under, so I don't want to make one, but if we had 4 county people, we went out for 3, we'd have a total of 7 on it.
Yeah.
So here, Chris is here. I didn't want to tie up Chris. I think we answered our question that you're only here for the Robert's Rules of Order question. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we resolved that one.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
no, that's fine. The only thing, Axel may have already told you, but it does apply in the event of a missing part or an omission in the code somewhere where you have a circumstance that's not addressed by the code, Robert's Rules might apply. But that part of the rule is also subject to suspension. So if you two want to have a meeting in which Commissioner Medora is allowed to appear via teleconference or via some kind of a Skype system as an alternative to continuing the meetings, all you'd have to do is vote to suspend that rule, and it takes a two-thirds majority to suspend that rule, and you could authorize that appearance. So you have some options.
And that suspension could be done here at this meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But we chose for the purpose of being more open to the public that we postpone those later.
And that makes a lot of sense.
But that helps us so in the future.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris.
Back to the PRAC.
Thanks again.
The composition the composition of the 10-member volunteer citizens group known as the PRAC will be made up of city residents, 2 school district representatives, and a Parks Foundation of Clark County liaison. No county members. So the PRAC members that we appointed to the previous PRAC are no longer a member of that, and they want to be a member of the county PRAC. And so we can just reappoint those 4 and then have the commission pick the new 3 that we would appoint.
And maybe with their first meeting, they could work out some of the other stuff that the city did, whether or not we want someone from the school board on there or whatever.
What I would like to be able to do is, since we really don't know them, one of the advantages of going through the process of appointing members is that they provide something that introduces you to them, so you know who they are, what they're interested in, their background. Yes.
Okay. We have that.
So certainly. In other words, what we did when we with the advisory boards is to standardize how we treat them all, and the organization that's in process right now that we're listing them all with the new website that gives them all a grid, provides templates that helps us be able to communicate back and forth. This is a brand new board, and it has a mission that's not necessarily the same as the city of Vancouver. It has qualifications that's not necessarily the same as Vancouver. It has an openness that would invite new members to be able to join, and very likely it would make sense for us to appoint the same members that have been previously appointed to Vancouver. But those are some of that needs to be nailed down and needs to be included up front rather than on our website, on our definition, on our qualifications. We have not nailed that down yet. For instance, will be, since these are for the Clark County Unincorporated Area Parks, the members that participate in that ought rightfully to come from the unincorporated areas, I would think. I mean, that's something we haven't talked about. But those should be nailed down before we just simply assume it's just going to be off and flying because we haven't laid the right foundation. Start out organized.
So what you're saying, of the four applications we have, we probably should look to see if they're all county residents.
Well, I'm saying we have a little homework to do before we just simply put this on autopilot. So between so let's hold off for a week.
Okay.
I want to be able to work with you behind the scenes to gather this information up and nail it down.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, we can wait a week. Well, I think
we have to wait 2 weeks.
Okay. So what we do along the way is that their first meeting, they'll be tasked with a chairman and
yep,
a mission statement.
Well,
I mean, one of these people is Kelly Putney. He's got 38 years of experience with parks.
Yeah.
He knows more about parks than our parks manager does.
Then between now and then, hopefully we can pick their brain. I want to get this right. And here, Mark, you're visibly agitated.
Yes, sir.
I am not saying we're going to close the door to them. I expect it would be the right thing to do would be to welcome them. But I want to make sure that we get this process, the foundation of this, organized up front right. There's work to be done one-on-one behind the scenes. I'm signing up for the homework for at least part of this thing to be able to get to know, to gain insight, to make sure we get this right. Because you don't just create a PRAC and not know what the mission is, not know what the qualifications are.
But you're making the assumption that we know none of this. And we've got two decades of experience with designing parks, maintaining parks. We know how to run a park
system. Can I suggest something, though? It is a new PRAC that's solely county. So I think what I hear the commissioner saying is why don't we just schedule some meetings or interviews, whatever you want to call them, with these four so you can sit down and meet them.
Well,
and I can provide the resumes now.
Well,
so,
great.
So
I welcome
that.
In other words, I want to make sure that we get launched on the right foot. And we're not closing any doors, but we're making sure that the foundations are laid, the organization is there, and then we launch it. We don't launch the rocket without launching
it. I thought that was Heath's job and Bill's job.
I'm concerned because they're discouraged that we haven't done this already.
Yeah, they are.
Well, timeliness, this was really something that I had assumed that when we first dedicated our own parks management, that this was part of that. And we only heard about this a few days ago. So I don't want to launch something that's going to last hopefully for generations, on a few days' notice without doing this homework. I want to make sure we get the right foundation laid. This is not to discourage anybody. In fact, it's to encourage them to say it's important enough for us to be able to make sure we get this launched correctly.
And
so
they've been asking me since before we separated if we would have our own.
Well, nobody's brought it forward. And this is...
Well, that's because we were still busy organizing down in the department, and the department is set up now. We're looking at 2 weeks before we do anything.
Well,
is there a way we can move that up?
Well, perhaps.
Let me give an example. Can we maybe if you look at the resumes of the four that are already on the Parks Board and that they are from the county, that they might be notified to start setting up their mission statements and so on?
First of all, I welcome, and I am already committing to make sure that this is an informed choice, and those individuals that have already shown an interest in it, that we welcome them and interview them, and I'm signing up to do that already. But all of these boards and commissions are there to serve as resources to we as commissioners. And since I've been elected, there's dozens and dozens of these boards that we never hear from, and they're having these conversations, and I don't want their conversations to go nowhere. I want us to be able to very clearly. That's why we're laying out this new organized website. They list them all, and they all have their grid, so that now we know who they are, we know how to communicate with them, we know how we have the ability to give them brainstorming invitations. Can you check in on this and this and do research? And they can come back and they can provide their answers and their research, and somehow we're tapping this untapped resource. That's what's happening with all the commissions that are already formed. We have one new, brand new commission that's there for to serve as resource to us commissioners, and that's where it's an opportunity to say, okay, it's our responsibility to understand what that mission is. It's our responsibility to make sure that this is a resource that is set up for success at the beginning, because we cared enough to lay the foundation for it. So I'm not ready to do that at this meeting today, but I don't want to wait 2 weeks. If you want to be able to give your blessing to say yes, you prefer to have all four of them, that's fine with me. And to move it ahead, to organize, I'll work with Mark to pull together this brand new Clark County Parks Advisory Commission.
Yeah, I think the theory, Commissioner, was that we would select the members and they would convene. And just like all groups, they would form, they would storm, they would norm and perform. You know, that management theory.
Within a mission statement.
Well, they help develop the mission statement, and they present that to the board, and the board says, yep, we agree with that.
We could have a very early work session with the board to go over kind of your vision of what the new parks.
And we make it a joint effort. We don't have you two decide what their mission is and give it to them without any input from them. It ought to be a joint effort.
They've got a lot of institutional knowledge. They've been on the board, and they can come back and share. Once you, between now and next week, review the board members, and then you guys get together and notify them and get something started.
Okay,
it worked.
And we'll pass it by you to make
I'm good with it.
Okay,
and I agree 100% that the mission of the group and how they do their business needs to meet your needs and to help you attain the vision that you have for parks.
And I think it's 100% our responsibility to give them a core, a foundation first, at least a draft mission, and allow them to be able to then start with something that they can evaluate and invite them to refine it.
But they need to come back and see what they have in their mind. Then we'll brainstorm and say, they might come up with something that we never thought about.
Because this is a chicken and egg question.
I have brains to pick.
Yeah, a chicken and egg thing, yeah.
Chicken and egg.
Okay, we got it.
Okay.
Commissioner reports. Do you have anything today?
The answer is yeah, we got to cancel all that. No board time, no work session, no Board of Health next Wednesday.
Because
Commissioner Mifflin's gone. Okay. Yeah, so if it applies to Tuesday, it applies to Wednesday. I'm sorry. We have one vacancy request form requesting to replace two senior web programmer analysts in application services. These are the folks that help design and support custom applications for internal county departments, and they're also dedicated to supporting our online services initiative.
Are they part of our IT team?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. General fund, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds very good. It looks like they've been gone for some time.
Stephen Fink has been gone, and we had another employee attempting to fill in, and that was not a satisfactory arrangement because his work was added to her work, and she simply couldn't keep up. And you know, they do really good work for county departments, and I think as part of our online efficiency effort, we ought to approve this.
So I'm looking at this, and it says 100% general fund.
Mm-hmm. It is.
That's not entirely true.
Each department reimburses.
When they're doing custom work for departments, they bill departments, and the departments pay. And so how much ends up being general fund is largely dependent on the work they do. Like Stephen Fink, for example, did a ton of work for Public Works, and Public Works reimburses the fund for that work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Yeah, and we really need to be web smart and well equipped in the tech area. So I'm a green light on it. This is just simply filling two people. The vacancies left behind by two people who left and it is within the existing budget already adopted.
Yeah, and Jim's been, you know, he waited as long as he could, and he's just not keeping
up. Good.
Yep.
Did good.
Got some salary savings. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you, Commissioners. Okay. Appreciate
anything
it.
Else?
No, sir.
Axel.
I don't think so.
Holly? David?
I'm good.
Or answer my questions. Oof. We are done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It just looked like we were going to go on forever.